Enrique Penaloza, welcome to Melbourne. You've just given us a little spiel about your time as mayor of Bogota in Colombia, which was an amazing presentation. Do you want to just quickly mention one of the things you did in terms of restricting car use in Bogota?
In Bogota, it has been a tradition for many years, and we have increased it recently. Closing every Sunday, we close 120 kilometers of main arteries during 7 hours every Sunday, and we get between 1.5 million and 2 million people out in the street, jogging and riding bicycles. It's a very nice happen. I started a severe car restriction during peak hours. We at this time, 40% of cars are off the streets every day during peak hours. Each car has a 2-day-a-week restriction. I did it for 3 hours, and then a later mayor increased it to 3 hours in the morning and to 3 hours in the afternoon. Another restriction is that we have a car-free day. There are thousands of cities all over the world that have a car-free day, but ours is very peculiar. Our city is a 7 million inhabitant city, and during 1 weekday, which is instituted through a referendum, from 6 in the morning to 7 p.m. at night. And the city works fine. I mean, that's exactly the idea, that people begin to think about a different way of organizing life, where car is severely restricted. Our aim is to... many cities in the world are restricting cars in one way or another. Yeah. Singapore, London, some others like New York or Hong Kong restricted through parking limitations. We want to achieve our goal, and we ask this question in a referendum, is to totally ban car use during peak hours every day in a weekdays. We asked people where they wanted to completely ban car use during 2 peak hours in the morning and 2 peak hours in the afternoon beginning the year 2015. Why the year 2015 and not immediately? Because we had a very poor public transport system. So we had to put in place a good public transport system, which we are doing at the moment.
And you said also in your talk that the public transport system you're using involves buses and custom bus stations. Has that proven to be successful?
Extremely successful. At this time, we did not have money to make a rail system. It's extremely expensive, and we could not subsidize our transport system. So we needed a self-sufficient system, and we put in place a system copied from the city of Curitiba in Brazil and improved, where we take a few lanes in the main roads from cars, only for buses, but the system is much more than that. People pay when they enter a station. Therefore, when a bus arrives, we have articulated buses, two-bodied buses, and as a bus arrives, the station doors open and the bus doors open, and so you can get 100 people out of the bus in seconds because they don't have to go down steps or anything, and 100 people into the bus in seconds also because they don't have to pay, they have already paid, and there is the surface of the station, the station floor is the same level as the surface of the bus floor, therefore it's also fully accessible to the handicapped, and the bus has very similar speeds to a rail system, is moving more than more passengers per kilometer hour than more than 90% of rail systems in the world. And it's been so successful that it's been instituted in many cities all over the world. Now they are doing it in Beijing, in several Chinese cities, in Tanzania, in Cape Town, in South Africa, in Mexico, in many places. But the idea is that we are going to have these trunk lines all over the city. We have gasoline tax, which is financing the expansion of the infrastructure, and the idea is that by the year 2020 we will have in our 9 million inhabitant city 85% of people living and working less 85% of the people living and working less than 500 meters away from a station, and then I hope we will be able to ban car use during peak hours.
Did you take steps to stop the physical growth of the city? How has that been constrained?
Not yet. No. I unfortunately, we at the city level do not have those legal powers. But I think the best way to constrain the physical growth is not to build highways. If I mean, most urban experts today believe that there are two great objectives. One is to get people to live close to the center, and second, to get people to use public transport. The only ways to achieve those two aims, in my opinion, is to severely restrict car use. There are many possible ways to restrict car use, but the simplest one of all is traffic jams. And if everywhere in the world where people use public transport, they do so not because they love the environment, but because car use is restricted somehow. In Manhattan, in New York, for example, the richest city in the world, and 90% of the people don't have cars. Not because they don't like cars, but because it's too expensive to park them, for example. So, I believe the way to avoid suburbanization is not to build any more highways. For example, if you have an excellent rail network, such as you do here, you can easily restrict car use and people will be forced to take the rail. But if you don't restrict car use, if you make more and more highways, people will not use the train.
In fact, Melbourne's doing the opposite of what you're suggesting. We're still building big freeways and all these sort of things. Do you think that'll come unstuck in places like Melbourne eventually?
When you have a spread out city, for example, Melbourne, I heard today, has 15 inhabitants per hectare. Okay. And we have 210 inhabitants per hectare. But you ask me if you want to have restrictions on city growth, these don't work. The only way to restrict is to make it difficult for people to go. But this will happen here, you know. Even in all highways that you build will not solve the traffic jams. The United States cities have giant highways coming out of them, and yet time lost in traffic jams is increasing every year. Why does it happen? Because as soon as you build a new highway, you facilitate the city expanding even farther away. Mm. And so even the same number of cars will go farther. In terms of square meters of road that are occupied, it's the same to have twice the number of cars as well, the same cars going twice the distance. Therefore, you cannot separate these two issues. It would be completely useless to try to put some restrictions on city growth if you do not restrict car use, because sooner or later these regulations will be changed. The pressure will be great, and they will say the housing prices are increasing. And so, in my opinion, what they should be doing in Melbourne, I mean, it's painful, but you already have an extremely costly and sophisticated rail system, but it's completely underutilized because around many of these stations you have very low density. So it's just to permit, you will have to have two policies. One, not to build any more highways, and second, to allow in the areas within a few kilometers of the stations, 1-2 kilometers of the stations, to demolish houses and to make 4 or 5 story high buildings, because they already have the infrastructure to go to the station. And one more thing, the only thing that is worse than having houses in the suburbs is to have factories and businesses in the suburbs. In the American cities such as New York, something very peculiar happens in the morning. For example, in New York, traffic going into New York in the morning is much less than traffic going out of New York in the mornings, even though there are much more people going into New York to work than going out of New York. Why does it happen? Because if all jobs are located in the center, such as in Manhattan, those people who work in Manhattan, even if they live in the suburbs, somehow they can find their way to a train station to go down to Manhattan. They can go by car or by shared taxi or by bus or bicycle, whatever. But the people who have jobs out in the suburbs, it's impossible to reach those jobs with mass transit. So the biggest thing that has to be avoided at all costs in Melbourne is the second stage of suburbanization. Second stage, I would say, is not only when houses begin to appear in suburbs, but then also businesses. And that is really, because this is a problem that really is not solvable in any way.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Enrique, and enjoy your stay in Melbourne.
By the way, I'd like to say that Melbourne is beautiful and fantastic, and I'm enjoying myself very much here.